The code for this podcast is SSAT018. This podcast is from a series titled How to Measure Your Spirit. The section is about your spiritual survival needs, and the segment covered is Eternal Salvation. This is discussion number 18 of 18, and covers the scripture reference of Ezekiel, chapter, Kiel 33, verses, 8 to 9. Please note that the first 3 or so minutes of this podcast are a reminder of how this all works. Skip past this only if Holy Spirit leads you to. Enjoy Jesus Christ.
Well, welcome. We are covering a series of scriptures from the Bible, and this is covering how to measure your spirit, your emotions, and your earth suit. There are many scriptures that you will be able to go through. You can either do that in groups, just looking at the scriptures and speaking to the Holy Spirit. Or if you would like, you're welcome to listen to the podcasts, and those are also available. If you feel like you would like to support this work, please will you just ask Holy Spirit who it is around you that needs to be blessed. I have discovered that the Lord will provide for me. So bless other people. Bless and encourage and help and strengthen other people. So if you're following along with us in the handbook, you can download that from multidimensionalthinkers.com/a-life-is-worth-living. You'll see the handbook towards the top. There's also an Excel calculator there, so you could also use that if you wanted to. You'll be able to go to the different podcasts from there. They're on different pages. You just need to look a little further down the web page. You will see the links to those things, how to measure your spirit, how to measure your emotions, how to measure your earth. Remember that as you listen, make the keywords in the second column, and the scoring needs to be done based on your conversation with Holy Spirit, where He says to you, yeah, you've got some work to do on this one, or no, you're fine. If you're fine, then it's a zero. If you're not fine, then you mark it as a minus. And that is you giving the Holy Spirit permission to make changes in your life as far as those things are concerned.
And you can't measure it against anyone else, because everybody's on a specific journey with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's got his own agenda about how He is raising each and every one of us. So you can never compare, which means that you can also never judge the other person. But you can, and you should be loving each other along that journey. And that'll give you an indication of how strong you are. Nothing to boast about, because even if you get one that you're not great at the moment, it just means that God's growing you, right? It's good to have things that you have to fix and grow into and things like that, so that's not a bad thing. And again, you can never compare with anyone else.
Please remember that everything on the site and all of these messages are free. So don't charge for them, please, if you're forwarding them on. Almighty Father, we just pray that you open our eyes, please, and teach us what it is that you want us to know. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. So this morning, we are reading from Ezekiel 33:8-9. And we've been going through the various scriptures that outline how you can tell if you're surviving spiritually as a spirit, right? And the first thing, the same way as when you are physically surviving, you need certain things like air to breathe, water to drink, things like that. Well, air to breathe is like eternal salvation. Without eternal salvation, you're dead already. In fact, it's not a case of you surviving as a spirit. Your spirit hasn't been raised yet. You're still a soul in a body, but you have no spirit that's alive. And so, when I say alive, it's not that it doesn't exist, it's just not alive. And, so it will still go to hell. It just is not alive to God. It does not have an opportunity to get to heaven yet. So it would be a good idea for you to make a decision that you would actually want to be able to get to heaven. Want to be alive to the kingdom. Want to move from a four-dimensional world to a nine-dimensional world. And we covered that in one of the previous talks. We're busy with, there's a free handbook that you can use to work through these different scriptures. And that's available at multidimensionalfilters.com/a-life-is-worth-living. And you can go onto that site. There's a lot of free resources there that you're welcome to just download and share. One of them is the handbook. So, it actually comes part of a bigger book called The Army of God. It speaks about each of us and how we actually work together as a unit spiritually. We're not an army physically going out and causing trouble or anything like that. But we are spiritually active. So, that explains how that works. Anyhow, Ezekiel 33 verse 8 to 9 is the last of the scriptures. It's the 18th scripture that we're reading relating to eternal salvation. So, let's unpack this backwards. It's a short one, but it is incredibly powerful. So verse 9. Right. Thou hast delivered thy soul. But thou hast delivered thy soul. So whatever you do, if you did this, your soul would be delivered. And what it means by that is that you are able to be saved. So you're not able to be saved let's just unpack backwards a bit further because we don't have enough information. But thou hast delivered thy soul. So, going back a bit further, it says here, he shall die in his iniquity. So somebody else will die in their iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So somebody else dies in their sin, but you have been delivered. Okay, still insufficient information. Go back a bit further. If he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So if he does not turn away from something, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Okay, still a bit too little information. Go back to the beginning of verse 9. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, so you've warned him, if he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So if you warn them, you will deliver your soul. No matter what this person does. Okay, well, I suppose that's encouraging. So it's good to tell people that what they're doing is not right in terms of what God says. What I have discovered is that when you do something like this, you need to do it under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs to prompt you to actually say something, because it says here, let me go back a bit further. So, going backwards, but his blood will I require at thine hand. So you will be responsible for his blood. Okay, it doesn't sound like it's too bad. It doesn't sound like it. It's going to be too hurtful. But when we get to heaven, we're going to see everybody in their final state. Those who've given their heart to Jesus and those who haven't. And there will be some who we will be told, this person's going to hell because of you. It's your fault. And you'll look at that and you'll go, no. Especially when you see the terror in their faces. And you'll think to yourself, no. And of course then it's too late. You can't change it. They're in the end state. You see, when a person dies, they come out in their end state, whatever their end state is. And you will have incredible regret for that. Because you will see the terror, you'll see what you caused. It doesn't sound like it's an issue now, but you'll see what you caused. But how did you cause it? It just says that his blood will I require at thine hand. So we go back. You know, another way to look at this is like this. God doesn't send people to hell. Christians do. And you think about that sentence and you think, how is that even remotely possible? How could a Christian, what kind of a person does this Christian, so-called Christian, have to be to send people to hell? Because if somebody's blood is on your hands, if this blood is on your hands, then at the last time you saw them, which could have been a long time ago, but the last time you saw them, that's not a Christian thing to do, I'm sorry. You can cut any way you want, but it's just not a Christian thing to do. No child of God would want to do that. No child of God would want to do what God doesn't want to do. God doesn't want to send anyone to hell. But here, if somebody's blood is required at your hand, it's because you are the one who's actually sending them. That wicked shall die in his iniquity. In other words, his end state will be not with Jesus. That's dying in your iniquity. Let's go back a bit further. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. So if you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, you have to tell them. You have to tell them. If you don't have Jesus, you are not going to make it. You're not. And you need to tell them that their current state, this is the important part, that does not speak to warn the wicked from his way. Where's his way? His way is not following Jesus. He's not doing what is right, saying what is right. Now, there's a bit of a challenge there because we slip and fall regularly and say the wrong things and do the wrong things. And if our Christian brother or sister does not say, hang on a minute, what you're doing is not right, okay, then it's on their head if we then start going and slipping into hell. Because they didn't say anything. Saying nothing is a cop-out. It's not acceptable. Accepting, and let's go back. Let's read the last bit, or the beginning of the verse. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked, thou shalt surely die. So you've heard God say, that person is certainly going to die. Right? Now, God has already said in the Bible, you're already dead in your sin. So, when he says you are surely going to die, he's saying anyone who is not in Jesus will surely die. Remember, this is written in the Old Testament. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked, thou shalt surely die. And when I say it's the Old Testament, it's pre-Jesus, I prefer to talk about. It's pre-Jesus. No, Jesus has not physically manifested yet. But the prophets understood that Jesus was coming, right? But during the time prior to Jesus, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked shall die in his iniquity. By his blood will I require at thine hand. So when you talk about this as a Christian, somebody who knows Jesus, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked, thou shalt surely die, that's the prompting. If the Holy Spirit prompts you to speak, and you do not speak, then that person, because the Holy Spirit is not going to force you. If you do not speak to warn that wicked based on what the Holy Spirit told you, the wicked shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. It will be your fault. And the terror that they will go through for eternity will be your fault. So what's the message behind this? Do not, when the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something, it's not because it's a plain Jane, or it's a nice thing to do. This is essential. It is really, really, really important that you do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Now, the Holy Spirit's not going to tell you to go and kill somebody or harm them. He's not going to do that because he loves them. Now, if you know that the Holy Spirit is God, if you know that he loves that person, you also know when Satan tries to throw you off course and tries to impersonate the Holy Spirit, because he will certainly not speak in love towards that person. Love does not mean, imagine, it's interesting, this happened a long time ago. There was a lady who went to the loo, and she came out, and there was a long piece of toilet paper trailing behind her. And I saw a number of the people at the place I was working at, you know, sniggering and laughing. She wasn't a particularly liked person. And I just thought, that's wrong. I just thought, you know what, it's wrong to let somebody walk around like that. It's just wrong. And I went up to her and I said, look, this is quite an embarrassing conversation, but I just want to let you know that there's a piece of toilet paper that's kind of like stuck somewhere and it's following me. And it was a hard thing to do. It's hard to say that to the person. She turned bright red. She turned around, she quickly snatched it off. And she just turned back and she said, thank you for telling me. And she went back to her desk. And I went back and I thought to myself, you know what? I've actually done the right thing. I've done the right thing. I would want other people, if they saw something like that, to tell me. And the reality is, we've all got blind spots. We've all got things that we can't see. So are you sensitive to when other people tell you something that you don't necessarily want to hear? Are you open to having the Holy Spirit use somebody else to talk to you and say to you, listen, by the way, that's not right? It's really important that you yourself are open to that. And then you take what they say. Doesn't mean that they're right, by the way. People sometimes don't get it right. But you take the words that they've said to you and you take that back to the Lord and you say, Lord, can you unpack this for me and help me to understand what part of this could maybe didn't all come from God, but what part of this actually came from you? And why did you need to send it through somebody else? The last question actually is almost moot because God will speak to you first. And if you've been ignoring him, that's when he will go through another person. So you will, in a sense, you'll already know what that's all about. But it's a good thing to ask anyway, because sometimes we don't want to hear that answer. You know, we are not perfect. And it is humility to hear when another person's being prompted to tell you something. Now, that doesn't mean to say that everything they say is in fact from the Holy Spirit. It may very well be somebody who's just, got part of the story right and the other part they've made up. That happens a lot where people go beyond the word of the Lord. And that's important for you too. If the Lord lays it on your heart to tell somebody that something is wrong, you need to say only to the point where God has given you to say that wrong. You don't go beyond that. Satan will always want to tag some stuff onto the end of that. He'll also want to somehow soften and say, look, it's not so bad, but no, it's bad. Don't water it down. Don't kind of soften it or anything like that. No. You say it the way the Holy Spirit gives it to you to say. And when a person is hurt because of something that you've been told to tell them, the one being hurt is Satan, not the spirit within. God is very, very gentle. The Satan who is trying to control the situation is the one who's angry with you. So often the initial response that you get from people like this is anger. Well, it's not the person that's being angry. It's the spirit that's now, the spirit that's operating in that person is now very angry. Because that spirit doesn't want you to come messing with what it's doing. Yes, it's hurting that person. Yes, it's like mocking the person, and torturing the person and loving what they're doing to the person. It doesn't want you to come and stop it. And evil spirits are aggressive. You have to get over the fact that people may be aggressive back to you. You're not up against the physical person. You're up against the spirit behind the person. And so, yes, they will be aggressive back to you probably all the time. But if the Lord told you to say it, it's because he wants to save that person. You see, the way this works is like this. You go and tell somebody that what they're doing is wrong. The spirit that's enjoying the fact that the person's doing wrong gets aggressive and angry and responds virtually immediately. Okay? That person may be angry for a while even, may blame you, may say all sorts of bad things about you and all that. And you know what? You've got to learn to play the long game. The long game is not about the initial response. The long game is about how that seed has been sown and it's going to grow and it's going to actually bear fruit, and suddenly this person at some stage in the future is going to change. Right? You're not playing the short game. It doesn't mean the person changes immediately. It does mean that you've got to say what you've got to say. When you say this and you've now said what the Lord has said, the spirit becomes angry with you and prompts a person to respond in anger or disgust, or, you know, you can use any number of responses, but those responses were designed to hurt you. If the Holy Spirit gave you the message to give, then it's not you who can possibly be hurt by what the person says. You're just the messenger. It's not your message. You're not coming to tell them stuff. Holy Spirit told you, I want you to tell. He says, these are his words here. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require thine hand. So it's when God is going to warn. If he then says it and you hear it. You know, sometimes what happens is that you see somebody behaving in a certain way and you hear so clearly the Holy Spirit say, that person is going to die. That person is going to die because you know what they're doing now. They're going to die. Now you don't have to warn them again and again and again and again. You say it once. You just take that message once. Why? Because it's God's message. He knows how to carry his message through and keep his message going. You just say it once. You don't have to try rub it in. You certainly do not add in any of your own words. You're the messenger. You are not the author. And because, I mean, if you add stuff to it and that person responds, you are going to feel terribly hurt because you added your own stuff to it. But if you just give what the Holy Spirit gave you to tell that person, you can't possibly be hurt. You're just the messenger. The person can say anything that they want. Who are they actually responding to? They're responding to God. It's his message. And then people get angry and say, look, I'm just passing on the message. I'm just passing on the message that the Lord, oh yeah, but the Lord doesn't talk to you, whatever. That's their problem. You know who you're speaking to. You're speaking to a spirit that's responding. Obviously that spirit doesn't want you to upset what it's trying to do. It's trying to kill that person eventually. Now, the interesting thing here is that once you've warned this wicked person, you still need to treat them the way that God treats them, and he loves everybody. You still got to treat them in love. You've given them a message, and now you treat them in love. Now, there are ways to do this. There are ways to do this. And you will know when you ask Holy Spirit, how do you want me to deliver this message? You might say, listen, I want you to go and have coffee with them. You might say, I want you to talk to them right now. Then you go right now. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You put down what you're doing. You step out and you go and do it immediately. Because there's a timing thing. God knows, maybe you'll never ever see that person again. And he needed that warning right now because he was about to go and do something that was going to wind him up in jail or worse, or get himself killed. You need to respond to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tells you to do something. Always say, Holy Spirit, how do you want me to do this? If you get just a message to say, Lord, who's this for? Is it for me? Is it for one other person? Is it for the whole church? And if you get a message and it's for the church, then you go to the church leaders and you say, this is the message that I got. It's up to the church leaders who are accountable to God to hear that message and to do with it whatever the Holy Spirit wants them to do with it. It's not your message. If they want to do it over 10 years or in 10 years' time, that's between them and God. You've done your job. Your job was just to give that message. It might be that the message is just for them. So you need to honor the authority structures. Take it to the person that God tells you to take it to. What that person does after then is none of your business, the results, but you're in the clear. According to this scripture, verse 9, nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. And this last sentence, but thou hast delivered thy soul, means this. When God gives you a message, you have to understand with it comes a penalty. The penalty is he's saying to the messenger, messenger, this is my message. Take it to that person and he'll tell you. And if he doesn't say it's exactly, you say, well, how and when? And if he says now, then you go now. You put down what you're doing and you go now. Right? And you say how? He might tell you you're going to have coffee. He might say go talk to them now. He might say something else. But the important part to understand is this. When he gives a command, he's giving a command for you to give a message. If you don't give that message, the consequences of you not giving that message are your fault. If you do give that message, then it's not your problem anymore. Christians, angels are messengers. They give messages. Now, be careful here. One, there are no such things as female angels. Please understand that. No angel you will ever see will have a female form. Secondly, I suppose they can always present themselves as females if they wanted to, but nowhere in scripture do you ever see that. Why? Because they don't have sexual organs. They don't need to procreate. So you will never see them with a form that has sexual organs. All of these new age things of angels who are messengers, or supposedly messengers that people speak to that are in female form. That is a lie. Don't believe that. Never, I will not pass on anything where an angel is a female. Because that's just a lie, straight from hell. They do not have sexual organs. I'm not going to create an impression which is not there. So, don't believe that for a second. And nowadays, it's very seldom that God needs to send an angel to you. Very seldom. Most of the time, he'll communicate through his Holy Spirit. Why would he need to send you an angel? He expects you to have a relationship with him. He expects you to have a relationship. The angels expect you to have a relationship with God, not with them. They know that they're a messenger. They're a plate that holds the food. They're not expecting you to eat the plate. You're not to worship them. They do not want to be worshipped. All throughout the Bible, every time somebody wanted to worship an angel, they said, no, don't do it. Don't do it. It's almost like, please, you're going to hurt me if you do that. So this angel worship is actually a load of rubbish. But it is dragging people into sin. So there you go. If you've been doing that, I'm just telling you that's a warning from the Lord. And then finally, once you have delivered your message, no matter what the response was, okay, it's a bit like you pick up static electricity. We've been walking on the carpet, you pick up static electricity. When you give a message from the Lord, right, it can be very uplifting and it can make you feel very important. You don't want that. You need to humble yourself as fast as you can. And the way I do it is I say, look, this is not my message. I'm just passing on the message. So there's nothing special about me. He's just chosen to send me. And then I always add, and this is true. God could choose anyone to give a message. If he chooses me to give a message, it's because part of that message is something I need to actually unpack myself as well. And so it's not that like, oh, I'm a prophet, I'm important. No. The minute you do that, you're actually not on God's side. You're picking up pride, you're going to have the same fall that Satan had. You don't want that. You really do not want anything like that. Because you're going to get really hurt. So that's another reason why God doesn't give people messages to give to other people. If he sees that giving this message is going to make a person so prideful that he could lose them, he's not going to use you as a messenger. That would hurt you beyond repair. You need to get to the point whereby you're humble enough to know this message is, it's not mine, it's not from me, I'm just the delivery guy. You know? And one other thing I've also learned, sometimes people say, thank you so much. And then they start to lift you up as though you're somebody important. You need to bring yourself down really fast with those people, because you do not want them going and saying, oh, you know, so-and-so gave me a message. You don't want that. You don't want to be the one lifted up. You want them to say, well, God gave me a message. And they say, well, it's irrelevant how he gave it to me. I know that he gave me this message. That's what you want them to say. So you got to get yourself out of the loop of praise and all that as fast as you can. If you can see it starting to happen, you do exactly like the angels do. Look, I'm just a fellow servant. There's nothing more special about me. I'm just a fellow servant, and I'm told to give you this message. And I'm giving you this message. What you do with it is between you and God. It's not my message. And then you walk away. You've given the message. But if you don't give that message, you intentionally deprive the person of the thing that they need. You cause them to go to hell. You cause them to suffer because you did not tell them what Jesus told you to tell them. You have to have the right attitude in your heart. There's nothing special about you that God chose you to give the message, excepting the fact that you belong to him. But then all Christians belong to him. So of all the Christians, there's nothing special about that. What is interesting is that all the abuse and the pain and the suffering that you went through as a child and later on, that developed you into a person who is able to get into certain circles to have conversations with people. You know, I know people who are like, they've been through drugs and all the rest of it. They can have a conversation with a drug person because there's an affinity they understand. Does it mean that God won't give you a message to go and take to a drug person? No, doesn't it? God gives you a message, you take it. You don't have to understand the mechanics. You don't have to understand why. If he puts it on your heart and you just know inside you, you need to tell this person this. Tell them. I'm going to say that again because some people are on the edge on this. If you're on the edge, if God has given you a message to tell somebody, tell them. Because you know the other side of this is that actually it burns you inside when you don't. You have regrets. And now that moment when you were supposed to go and do it is now gone. And now you can't give the message anymore. It's too late. Remember, if somebody brings you a message, you know, you need to just, every time you get a message from somebody, okay, it's interesting. I heard one person say, so person A says that God gave them a message, that person B needs to give them whatever, 100 rand or whatever the case is, okay. Well, that's just not the way that God works. You see, God will tell person B first, give that person 100 rand. And then if that person not listening, then he could send somebody to to go and do that. So the first question you ask is when somebody says, listen, I got this message from God for you. The first question you've got to ask is, okay, God is everywhere all the time. He can speak to me. So Lord, why did you not say this to me first? Or how were you telling me this beforehand? And then you might realize, you know what? He was telling me this. I can see this situation. He was trying to get this message across to me. And I wasn't listening. Now he's had to resort to like the last resort almost, which is to get somebody else to bring me this message. Because the first plan is never for somebody else to bring you the message. The first plan is for you to have a relationship with Jesus, whereby you listen to him. So when somebody gives you a message, it's not a good thing. It means you haven't been listening. As a Christian, that's what it means. If you're not a Christian, well, you're probably not going to hear, in which case you best listen to what the person says. Then again, if you're not a Christian, some person gives you this message, you will know inside whether or not there's some element of truth to it. And that some element of truth you need to just take and say, you know what, Jesus, if you're real, and just the fact that you're having the conversation with him obviously means that there's some kind of inkling of possibility that he might be real. And Jesus, if you're real, help me understand this message. And he might not do it immediately, but he'll do it in time. Well, there you go. So let's read from the top. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Have a good day, guys. Have a beautiful day. And if the Lord gives you a message to give to somebody, go and give it. Ask him how, go and do it. If the Lord sends somebody to give you a message, ask the Lord to help you understand what he is talking about, what God is talking about, not what the message is talking about. It's always helpful. For example, if somebody's got a message for you, it's always helpful to record that message. You know, get the person to write it down so that you can bring it before the Lord in exactly the way it was given to them. I've also said, are those the exact words that God's given to you? And sometimes I say, you know, it's like a feeling that I got. Accept that it's a feeling, but listen to the words that were given to you. Sometimes you can say to them, you know what, before you give me the message, let me just put my voice note on. Or could you send it to me in a voice note? Because I want to have it to bring it before the Lord. And that also helps to humble the other person. By saying that you're not accepting their message directly. You're saying, thank you for the message. I'm going to bring it before the Lord. All right. That helps a person to feel, okay, you know what, I'm just a delivery guy. And I need you, and this guy's helping me to remember that I'm just a delivery guy. God bless, guys. Have a beautiful day.